inexcusable ignorance of God's spiritual program of today. Why should anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time be ignorant of God's spiritual program and message today? We've called your attention to the fact that Jesus Christ is mentioned from the first of Matthew to the last of Revelation by noun and pronoun. He is mentioned 6,988 times. In the sixth chapter of John, he said, "I came down from heaven." I came down from heaven. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world." He was in the form of God. He was with God. He was God. And he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, one of the all important verses that we need to understand to begin to know God's message and program is the fourth chapter of Galatians at the fourth verse. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Now, how long after God promised his Son did his Son come? 4,000 years before Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, God came on the scene in the presence of Satan and Adam and Eve and said, in so many words, "Satan, this first man that I made in my image and likeness, Adam, you put under your feet. I'm going to send another man in my image and likeness, and he's going to put you under his feet." Christ is called the last Adam. He's called the second man, as Adam is called the first Adam and the first man. So the first promise of the Redeemer is in Genesis 3:14 and 15. And in Hebrews 2:14 and 15, we read that Jesus Christ became a partaker of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, we do not know what's going to take place during the next 100 years. Sometime, some year, some month, some week, some day, some hour, some moment, a great event is going to take place and put an end to this epidemic of death. And there is an epidemic of death. When we say 56,000 people die every 24 hours, and 100 years ago there were 800 million people living who are now dead, and if this event doesn't take place within the next 12 months, or within the next 100 years, the 12 months will be 12 times 56,000, but in 100 years, more than 2,450,000,000 of the 2,600,000,000 people now living will have died. I see our brother Jerry back there. Just now spied him. He's so little, it's hard to see him. I had a wonderful time with Jerry, and the Lord's using him out in Omaha, and we're going to have him close here with prayer. Then I'm sure he's going to have a part for the young people sometime this afternoon. But when I was leaving Omaha, a friend of mine was there with me, and the ticket agent said to him, "Alvin, I had a wonderful experience today that 99 out of 100 people will never have." He said, "I was a pallbearer today for our mutual friend. He died at the age of 106. Now just think how long that is. Well, that isn't anything to compare with Methuselah, is it? 969 but for today and the day of grace and since the flood. 106 years. Well, what is that? 106 years. What is your life? It's only like a vapor. It's here today as the sun comes and the vapor disappears. Here we are today and we're gone tomorrow. We'll never know how sudden it'll be. Now there's only one great event that can put an end to that. You can preach 1,000 times to people on a simple 4 or 5 words. 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all die. Well, they say that might refer to some future generation. Doesn't refer to me. Well, God says we shall not all die, and whatever God says is true. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Now, the wages of sin is death. And we're under a universal law called the law of sin and death. And by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And by man came death. By man came the resurrection from the dead. By Adam came judgment upon all the human race, and alienation, and condemnation, and sin, and death. By Jesus Christ has come righteousness, and redemption, and reconciliation, and eternal life. Now when Christ said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," we read that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Made under the law. Why was Jesus Christ circumcised when he was 8 days old? Because he was made under the law. Why do we read in Luke 2:39, "When they had done all things for him according to the law, he went back to Nazareth." Everything that was done for him, when they killed the turtle dove and the pigeon, when he was presented and Simeon held him as a little baby up in his arms, everything was according to the law. Then when he was 12 years old, we just get one glimpse of the Savior when he said to his parents, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to do his Father's business. And his Father's business was that he was to be made under the law. So we read in Luke 4:16, Jesus, as his custom was, went into the Jewish synagogue on the 7th day. He didn't go in on the 1st day. Sunday meant nothing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The day that was the day for him was the 7th day, because he was a Jew, born under the law, and under the law, God says, remember the 7th day, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Now Christ was made under the law. He said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And not one jot or tittle will pass away until all be fulfilled." When you read the Our Father prayer of the Lord, when you read the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule, remember then when Christ gave it, he was under the law. And he said to the woman in Samaria, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew." Christ was a Jew in the double sense of the word. He is yet to be and prove that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And racially, a Jew was a Judahite. The reason why Christ cannot be a priest, we're told in the 7th and 8th chapter of Hebrews. If he were on the earth, he would not be a priest. Because he sprang from the tribe of Judah, of which tribe nothing is said of the priesthood. Any man who usurps the office of a priest who is not from the tribe of Levi will be judged by God. And the only reason why God does not kill every priest today is because we're living in the day of grace. There is no priest except from the tribe of Levi. And if our blessed Savior could not be a priest because he was not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah, the only way he could be a priest is because he entered into heaven as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it says he came unto his own and his own received him not. It's very interesting to note that his own there is in the neuter gender and the second his own is in the masculine. Now notice, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. And he says the world is the field and the field is the world. He came unto his own world. This world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ by right of creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This world belongs to him by right of redemption. He gave himself a ransom for all. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. So the Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. He did not come unto the Gentile. The book of John, we all love. I believe more Christians love the Gospel of John than any other book in the Bible. But one of the most interesting things you'll find in the book of John is this. If you study every verse and every line in the Gospel of John up to the time that Jesus Christ appeared before Pilate to be put to death, you'll never find that Jesus Christ carried on a conversation with a Gentile while he was on earth. Not one record in the book of John that Christ ever carried on a conversation with a Gentile. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we found that Christ spoke to only two Gentiles. One was a Syrophoenician Greek, and the other was a Roman centurion who had built a synagogue for the Jews. So one of the basic principles of Bible study and one of the basic truths we must learn is this. Jesus Christ said something that the great majority of church members will not believe. Matthew 15:24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you may say, I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says. That while Christ was here on earth, it says he was Jesus of Nazareth in the midst of Israel in the land of the Jews. He was a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. And when the Syrophoenician woman came and asked for a blessing, he said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Acts 13:23 says that when Jesus Christ was born to be a Savior, he was born to be a Savior of Israel. Acts 5:30 says when Jesus Christ was born, he was born to be the Savior of Israel. And we read it over and over again. Now let's notice in the 21st chapter of Matthew, if you have your Bible there, notice what the Lord said in Matthew 21:42. What we are mentioning now, you must learn or you'll never understand the Bible. God sent Jesus Christ to minister to the Jews. The risen Christ sent Paul to minister to the Gentiles. And if you never learn the difference between Christ's ministry to the Jews and Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, you'll always be confused and we'll always be troubled as we are today with the curse of sectarianism. There are over 240 recognized sectarian church organizations today. When the Bible tells us as plainly as anything can be said, there is only one church and only one head of that church and only one way to get into that church. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And there is one church only, and that church, in that church, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. And there's only one head and bishop of our soul. And the sanctuary is not here on earth. The sanctuary is where the bishop is. And our bishop is at the right hand of God, the same man that died on the cross of Calvary. And after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, where for more than 1900 years, he has been making intercession for every member of the body of Christ. And therefore, God is able to save them to the uttermost if you have come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now in the 42nd verse of the 21st chapter of Matthew, Jesus said unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, I've been studying the Bible diligently and very thoroughly for 56 years. And I don't know of anything that the Lord does that isn't marvelous in our eyes. As I said when I was a little top, and I heard that God always was and always would be, and God never had a beginning. Why, I say I can go back a million years or a trillion years, way back as far as you want to go, but there must have been a time when there wasn't God. Well, I found out as I grew up that I only had a finite mind and God is infinite. How can you understand if you have been led astray by evolution and you get the first cause? Back of the first cause, you have to have a first causer. Somebody that caused this first call. And in the beginning was God, uncreated. As we said, there was a time when there wasn't any church building on this lot. There was a time when there wasn't any lot here. There was a time when there wasn't even space. There was a time when there wasn't anything but the eternal throne of God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And when we're overwhelmed with that, that God always was and never had a beginning, we ought to bow in the dust in humility and not try to be educated to become beyond our intelligence and know more than God, as many of our professors. I never heard such nonsense in my life as those five men. Three of them Protestants, one someone else, and another one a Jewish rabbi yesterday. A child in the primary department ought to know more than they knew. And that's where we're drifting today. Why? Because after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How are we to understand that the world was made and that God made things that appear out of things that did not appear? We're to take it by faith. And if you try to walk by sight today, my dear friend, instead of by faith, you'll walk in the path of infidelity before you get through in skepticism. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now notice what it says.
The stone which the builders rejected, Christ is the stone and the builders Israel. Two things had to happen before this present age in which we live could be brought in or ushered in by God. Christ had to be rejected by Israel before he went to the cross, and Christ had to be rejected by Israel after he went to the cross. Christ had to die on the cross and be raised from the dead and rejected by the nation Israel before the age and dispensation and gospel of the grace of God could be sent to the Gentiles. When finally the gospel of grace was sent to the Gentiles, it was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul to provoke the Jews to jealousy, we're told in the Bible. Then Paul cried out, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Now note it. "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." If you want to read a wonderful gem of truth, read the 118th Psalm, beginning with the 18th verse and going through the 24th. This is quoted from here. 1,000 years before Christ came, the Bible prophesied that the Jews would reject him and he would become the head of the corner. And this would be the Lord's doing and marvelous in our eyes. And what's the next verse? "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." How can you rejoice and be glad in temperature of 106 or 16 below zero? How can you rejoice when you're out in a cyclone or a storm? Well, did the Lord make that day? And you think that people can rejoice? He isn't talking about a 24-hour day. He's talking about the day when Jesus Christ on that cross cried, "It is finished." That's the day of all days. Every great event of time and eternity is centered in the two advents of Christ. And the first one in that hour when he was dying there between the thieves, when he by the grace of God tasted death for every man. He was delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God. God said when wicked men slew him and put him on that tree, they did none other things than his counsel and his mind determined to be done. It was all according to the plan and program of God. Jesus Christ was not the helpless victim of circumstances. When he died on that cross, his death was neither premature nor accidental. He never died one moment before his time. He didn't have to die. He was Almighty God. He could have spoken a word and killed everybody like he's going to do when he comes back. When he comes back on the white horse, what's he going to do? He's going to smite every enemy with the brightness of his coming and a sharp two-edged sword going out of his mouth. And that means the word of God. And all Christ will have to say when he comes back to anybody that opposed him, just say the word, and they'll drop dead, and that's what he could have done before. But he said, "The Son of Man came not to destroy men's life, he came to save them. I came not to judge the world, I came to save the world." So when he went to the cross of Calvary, you remember what he said? "The Son of Man must go as it is written of him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He appeared once in the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He said, "Destroy this body, in 3 days I'll raise it up." And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He was here 40 days eating with his disciples in his resurrection body. And they saw him leave the Mount of Olives and go up to glory. And when he died on the cross, listen what he said. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." And a few days after that, Peter stood there with in front of devout Jews from every nation under heaven, and he says, "God knows that you did it through ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing when you released Barabbas the murderer and you killed the Prince of Life. And God would like to forgive you now. He'd like to establish his kingdom here. Will you receive this resurrection, this crucified and resurrected Messiah? Will you receive him as your king and your savior and your prince?" How did they answer? They threw Peter and John in jail. What else did they do? They stoned Stephen to death when he told them the same story. What to do with Paul? He told them the same story, and they led him outside of the city and stoned him for dead. They had said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Now we talk about inexcusable ignorance of God's program. People say we ought to profit by experience. Where are the Jews? Where have the Jews been for the last 1900 years? 7,000 of them killed by Hitler. Did you ever read Eugene Sue in The Wandering Jew? They're the wandering Jew, and they're right where Jesus Christ said they would be in the 21st chapter of Luke. He said they would be scattered among all the Gentile nations, and they would remain there until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there they are. And there they are blind. I told you the other day that 23 synagogues are now on the northwest side. And yesterday I passed three different lots where it says a Jewish synagogue will be built on this corner. There will be within 2 years 30 synagogues on the northwest side. There were only three when I came here. They're becoming very religious, and they meet in their synagogues, and they're just as blind as an owl. They don't see anything. They don't even follow Moses. They reject Jesus Christ, and he said, "If you believe Moses, you'd believe me." And he was their Messiah, and they're just as blind today as they were when Paul said in the 11th chapter of Romans, "Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is sent to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy." But let's take an inventory of the Gentiles. Where are we today? 7 out of 10 of the people in the Protestant churches today are just as blind as those Jews. Just as blind as the Jews. Today we have what is called the rationalism of modernism. They're trying to do away with the supernatural in the Bible and the miraculous Christ. And they're trying to explain him on some kind of human plane and some human philosophy. The great central fact of the Bible, you know what the great fact of the Bible is? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the creator of the universe, and he went to Calvary's cross and died. And God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Well, Israel was set aside, and God raised up a man. And that man wanted to go to the Jews. Oh, how he loved Jerusalem. Every time Saul of Tarsus, Paul, could get near Jerusalem, he'd rush over to that city. How he loved the Jews. He said, "I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my kinsman's sake." Oh, how he loved the Jews. And how he had hated the Gentiles. You know, when he was a Jew as Saul of Tarsus, according to the law, he was so religious and so legalistic. If his coat had happened to touch that of a Gentile, he would have gone for a ceremonial washing. How he hated the Gentile. And there he was in Jerusalem. And while he was there, the Lord caught him in a trance, according to the 22nd of Matthew. And he said, "Paul, hurry up and get out of Jerusalem. Hurry up and get out of Jerusalem." What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Did his Father say to him, "You stay in Jerusalem. Paul, you get out of Jerusalem. Christ, you stay here as Jesus of Nazareth and preach to the Jews. Paul, you get out of Jerusalem, and I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles." And 18 times, Paul mentions himself as the minister of the Gentiles, as a witness of the Gentiles, as the apostle of the Gentiles, as a teacher of the Gentiles, as a preacher of the Gentiles, as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentile, and he sent him out with something entirely new and different, a new apostle. 9 out of 10 Christians, like, if they study at all, they like the red-lettered New Testament, and they go back and read the red-lettered New Testament, and every red letter you read in there, except in two chapters, every red letter is what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Jews under the law. And therefore, we miss the great message. Who is our apostle? He says, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles." The Lord Jesus Christ gave me this message and program for the Gentiles. And when he gave him the message, he called it a mystery, and everything about the message was a mystery because it was so different from the kingdom of heaven and God's mystery message to the Jew. And how simple it is, as I said a while ago, the Lord said, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that a blindness has happened to the Jews until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. Don't you know we're living in a Gentile period? Don't you know that God said if he spared not the natural branches, that he'll not spare you? If he called the Jews children and the Gentiles dogs, if he called them the commonwealth of Israel and us the alien to the commonwealth of Israel, you think that God is going to spare the Gentiles?